Well, North Dakota Attorney General Wayne Stengem announced yesterday that he is joining 10 other Midwestern attorney generals in asking the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate suspected national price fixing by meat packers in the cattle industry. And the Attorney General Wayne Stengem is nice enough to join us now. And Wayne, thank you so much, first of all, for your time today.
Oh, of course, Eric. A real pleasure.
Well, let's talk about this issue because it is and has been an ongoing issue here for a little while, and it really seems to be heightened in what's going on in the livestock industry and the prices that are being offered and money that seems to be being made by somebody in the meat industry. Unfortunately, it's not our livestock producers in North Dakota. So first of all, tell us what's behind us joining this this letter and asking the Department of Justice to investigate what's going on.
You know, what we have seen here in North Dakota and across the country is a steady, almost relentless consolidation in the meatpacking industry to the point where we have, you know, four of the major meatpackers control 80 to 85%, maybe more, of the meatpacking industry in the state. The concern that we have is what everybody in the livestock industry is seeing, is increasing prices at the supermarket. And then the actual producers, the ranchers who are raising hogs and cattle, are losing money. And, in fact, losing money to the extent that sometimes they have to go out and actually slaughter their own animals because they can't afford to keep them. We're concerned that this consolidation by the meatpacking industry runs contrary to the antitrust laws. It's anti-competitive. The net effect has been over the last while that, and it's been 20 years that we started to see this relentless consolidation. It's driven the smaller and medium-sized operators out of business, so that reduces competition, and that means that it raises prices for consumers. And then, of course, those companies have much better ability to control the prices they're willing to pay to the growers. And the result is the producers, the ranchers, going out of business and being unable to actually operate their own industry. That's the concern that we have. The U.S. Department of Justice has both the federal antitrust laws, other federal legislation they can enforce. We think the Department of Justice needs to do an immediate and full, thorough investigation to determine if there are violations of the antitrust laws. The states that signed this letter, and probably several others who didn't have the opportunity, have their own authority under antitrust laws. We're more than willing to work with the Department of Justice to complete an investigation and then take whatever action is necessary.
What are the options on the table, Wayne? Let's say the Department of Justice does find something wrong. What can they do?
They have lots of options, from severe fines, but up to actually breaking those companies up, like happened with Standard Oil over 100 years ago and happened in the last century with AT&T. They have authority to break up those large companies. There's a number of strong tools that are available, and I hope that they'll look at using each and every one of them.
Wayne, if the Department of Justice can't find enough to get involved, do you have any tools in your tool chest as the North Dakota Attorney General to do something,
well,
at least in the state?
We would in the state, but, you know, we're a small state here in North Dakota. Our antitrust division is part of the Consumer Protection division of my office. We have 8 employees, and, you know, devoting the kind of time we'd have to a major undertaking while we're still dealing with the run-of-the-mill frauds that we have to contend with and the opioid litigation and investigations into Google and everything else that we're assisting with would be difficult. But we could join with other states, and that is an option that I think we will look at if the U.S. Department of Justice isn't willing to fulfill its responsibility. Then we can team up with attorneys general from states that have much bigger staff, like Texas and, you know, some of the big states. And we have done that effectively in the past, and that's something that I'd be more than happy, because then we can do our fair share of the work, recognizing the size of our staff, but also cooperating with other attorneys general. We did that with tobacco. We're doing it now with the opioid litigation, and that can be a very powerful tool as well. and we would not be reluctant to do so if the Department of Justice won't do something.
How does it work for your office specifically to get involved? You and I were talking a little bit about this off the air. Does somebody have to file a complaint for your office, or can you, I mean, obviously this is an agriculture state and you've got friends in the livestock industry, you know people, and you can see what's going on. Can you just pick up and go after this yourself, or does somebody have to file an official complaint first?
No, you don't have to file an official complaint. If it's something that we become aware of, then we can take action. There's nothing that limits that. But believe me, I have heard from people. It's not like this is not a well-known issue. Some of the major farm groups have contacted me to encourage us to prod the U.S. Department of Justice. Senator Hoeven and Kramer have done the same thing, by the way, as have the senators from I know Montana, South Dakota, and Nebraska, and Senator Hawley from Missouri, who's a former attorney general, has likewise sent letters to the Department of Justice. So I think they're feeling the pressure, and it's my anticipation they're going to take this seriously.
How long would an investigation like this typically take? I realize there's probably no way of knowing, but is this something that could get resolved quickly?
Oh, you know, I don't think so. If these investigations, if it's going to be thorough, really will take time. It's not something you can do overnight, because you have to get the complete the investigation, get the information you need so that you can take action. So they take time.
Wayne, if you could, maybe talk just a little bit about how your office has been handling the COVID-19 pandemic.
Our office is kind of spread around the state because we have Bureau of Criminal Investigation agents, but we're an office of 250 employees, most of them now working from home. I'm on the first floor of the Capitol building, and there's four of us that come in when there's usually a couple dozen on this floor that work here. So we've had them work from home, and it's working fairly well. But I'll tell you, in talking to them, they're eager to come back to work.
I bet. In a way, it has kind of slowed down the process a little bit for you, and in other ways, maybe it's made it busy because of all the fraud that seems to be picking up.
Well, we've got the issues with the fraud. There's the questions that are constantly coming up, of course, from our client agencies, because we're the general counsel legally for all of the state agencies in North Dakota who have more and more questions. And then, of course, all the regular work that we are called on to do doesn't stop. The Bureau of Criminal Investigation is still working because crime hasn't been eliminated. They still have their work to do, and so does everybody else in the office. And so we're managing, we're getting by, but I think everybody is getting to the point where having COVID-19 fatigue and just are ready to have it be over with, and the sooner the better.
Yeah, especially when it's like 70 degrees outside. I think people just want to go back to normal life.
Well, that's true, and that's actually what is a good thing, because you don't have to be cooped up in the house, and if you observe the social distancing, you can go for a walk and do all of the things. There's no prohibition on that, and that helps.